Hi, everyone. Welcome to Tribe Talk. Jim Rosenhaus along with you this weekend from Progressive Field in downtown Cleveland, where the weather has turned. And we are truly into a Northeast Ohio offseason in earnest with the cold temperatures. But some hot stove baseball talk for you as we continue through the offseason. And again, another great week for the Indians off the field. Accolades for those who had outstanding years in 2014. And we will have complete coverage of another Indians Cy Young Award winner, Corey Kluber, getting that award on Wednesday night. Also on this week's show, in addition to talking with Corey Kluber, we'll visit with his pitching coach, Mickey Callaway, also a former pitching coach for Corey Kluber on the last steps to the big leagues while he was at AAA Columbus. Ruben Niebla was his pitching coach there, and we'll talk with Ruben about significant adjustments that Kluber made that allowed him to take a huge step forward in a very short period of time. We'll also hear from Michael Brantley, who was in the running for the American League Most Valuable Player Award. So a lot to get to on this week's show. You stay with us as Tribe Talk gets rolling on the Cleveland Indians Radio Network. Welcome back to Tribe Talk. Jim Rosenhaus back with you from Progressive Field in downtown Cleveland. And don't forget our show each week, not only on the Indians Radio Network, but also you can find it on Indians.com. And we are now up on iTunes as a podcast. So if you go to the iTunes store, just look up podcasts for the Indians. This show, Tribe Talk, will be on there, and you can fire away and have it on your iPhone and be all set to go with Tribe Talk mobily as we continue to expand the reach of our show. We reached out to Corey Kluber on Thursday after he was announced as the 2014 American League Cy Young Award winner on Wednesday night, the fourth Cleveland Indian to win the Cy Young Award, joining Gaylord Perry back in 1972, C.C. Sabathia in 2007, and Cliff Lee the following season in 2008. The Indians, the first team since the Blue Jays from 96 to 2003 to have three different Cy Young Award winners during an eight-year span. And for Kluber, just a great year of the season gone by, 18-9, an ERA of 2.44. And we're not going to go too deeply into the numbers and why he won the award over Felix Hernandez. You talk to different sports writers who were involved in the voting and read some of their reasoning. It really was a toss-up. Two pitchers who had superlative seasons, and it was Kluber that came out ahead by just a 10-point margin, one of the slimmest voting margins in Cy Young Award history. When we visited with Kluber, checking in from his home down in Florida, he was surprised. He thought the award was going to Felix Hernandez. We asked him why.
You know, I think just because of how unbelievable of a season that Felix had, I think I just assumed that, you know, that he was going to come away with it. I think, you know, maybe I just convinced myself of that, but I think that it was one of those things where, you know, probably in my mind, it was hard to make an argument against him, I guess.
And there's been some time since the season ended. Did you think about it much during that time after your last start and prior to last night?
I've taken some time to reflect on it. I think to me the coolest part about this year is, you know, not necessarily the things that I did, but it's hearing your name mentioned along with, you know, some of the great pitchers that have played for the Indians before.
I know you were quick to thank so many different people, and certainly you're the person most in control because you have to make the pitches and work out of jams and try and get through games with great success. But how many people are involved in the making of a good major league pitcher, and then to have a season like this, who are some of those involved that really helped you along the way?
Probably a lot of people that I don't even know. You know, I mean, there's so many people that in the organization that go into, you know, the team success, individual success, you know, whether it be scouts that are, you know, getting advanced reports, things like that. I mean, it goes a lot further than just people out there on the field. And I think that, you know, without all those people doing such a great job at their job, it obviously, I don't think my year would have turned out the way that it did.
Corey Kluber joining us, announced as the Cy Young Award winner last night. And Corey, it doesn't seem that long ago that you were trying to reach the major leagues, number one, and then stay in the major leagues. He had a couple of opportunities and ended up going back to the minor leagues. And does it seem like that's a long time ago, or does it still seem fairly recent?
Yeah, no, I think it does seem fairly recent. I mean, like you said, it hasn't been that long removed since I was playing in Columbus. So, you know, I think it's just one of those things where, to me, regardless of where you're at, you know, I think it's just you approach your job the same way and try to go out there and improve on what you feel like you need to and, you know, come to work every day ready to do that.
And along those lines, obviously there's some frustrations along the way, some setbacks along the way. Were there ever any times when you were in the minor leagues where you thought, you know, maybe this is it? Is there an end to this before you get to the major leagues? Or did you always think that somewhere in there was some ingredients for success?
Yeah, I mean, I think you always believe in yourself. But there's definitely times where it's frustrating, where you would rather be pitching in the major leagues than the minor leagues. But it's kind of where it's that easier said than done. I'm just kind of, you know, put your head down, go to work, go about your business. And, you know, if you do that, things will kind of take care of themselves.
This season, you had some real good roles, so to speak, where you're just on fire for a while. And during those times, what's going through your mind maybe prior to a start that may be different from times where you're trying to find it a little bit?
Yeah, I think regardless of, you know, when you go out to the bullpen for a game, you know, whether you feel great or not so good going out there, I mean, I think regardless, you try to take the same mindset once the game actually starts, and that's just being aggressive, you know, making the best out of what you have that day. I think that the biggest thing is those times when it feels like things are going well. You know, your bullpen's in between starts, things like that. You're still getting your work in, but you're not necessarily feeling like you're searching for something or fighting against something that you might be doing wrong. You're just, you know, getting the work in and almost trying not to get in your own way, so to speak. But, you know, I think that it's a good feeling to have when you do have that, but at the same time, you know, keep in mind it's not going to last forever.
A lot of times we had a chance to visit with Yan Gomes after some of your big starts. What kind of impact did he have on you this year as the year went along?
I think he had a huge impact, not only for me, but our pitching staff as a whole getting better throughout the year. You know, I think the more and more of a role he took as far as leading our pitchers, you know, the better we got. I think that probably just something that naturally evolves for him being his first year as a full-time, you know, starting catcher and stuff. You know, he really did a good job of really making everybody out there on the mound comfortable, and that goes a long way for everybody. You know, it makes your job easier to pitch when you got so much trust in the guy back there behind the plate. You know, I think that, you know, he cares so much about taking care of the pitchers and stuff and the defense side of it. You almost forget how good of a hitter he is sometimes, but you know, obviously he just won an award for that, so I guess that goes without saying.
Corey Kluber joining us, Cy Young Award winner. And Corey, you do it in a year where the team's in contention, and I know you talked about it quite a bit last night. That was the most important part, and does that just make it all the better that the starts that you had were so important to the team down the stretch?
Yeah, because that's what we're shooting for. You know, that's the goal, is to try to get to the postseason. So that's first and foremost what's on everybody's mind when you come to the ballpark when you're still in it. You know, I think that makes it that much more exciting to come to work every day. You know, it's a more fun environment around the ballpark and stuff. And I think that when you're pitching those kind of situations, it's what you're striving for at the beginning of the year, is to have that chance at the end of the year.
And you had the great run in September, and the other members of the starting rotation were solid. And I know much was made of some of the leadership that you assumed after the trade of Justin Masterson. But how much, especially early on after the trade, how difficult was it for you not knowing that he was there? Because it seemed like you leaned on him a little bit early in the season for advice and to get through some of the tougher times if they cropped up.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think that he's, from the time that I first came up, he was always always the guy that I'll go to if I needed something. And, you know, I think that he was always that leader that all the pitchers went to. And so there's kind of that transition period there where, you know, we all kind of all had to get used to him not being around, which was tough at times. But, you know, I think we did a good job of kind of, I think in a way it helped us force us all to figure out how to deal with stuff on our own a little bit more too.
And as you look ahead now to the coming season, have you even started the workout program that you normally do, or do you change that up at all based on the workload that you had this year and what you expect in the coming season?
No, still pretty much the same kind of routine for me that I always do. I've been going to the gym for a month or so, and you know, start throwing long toss sort of stuff probably midway through December, and you know, get some bullpens in before head out to Arizona, and then, you know, really crank it up and start getting specific on stuff once we get out there.
Well, I'll tell you, Corey, it was great to watch you not only develop but reach great heights this season, and certainly well deserved. Congratulations on the Cy Young Award.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
That's the 2014 American League Cy Young Award winner, Corey Kluber, as always, as humble as they come, and certainly a quality that has endeared him to his teammates, and everyone looking forward to seeing what Kluber and that young pitching staff can do from day one in 2015. Stay with us. When we come back, we'll visit with Kluber's pitching coach, Mickey Callaway. That's next as we continue with Tribe Talk on the Indians Radio Network. Jim Rosenhaus back with you on Tribe Talk as we join you from Progressive Field in downtown Cleveland this week. Great to have you with us on another busy week for Indians players who had outstanding seasons the season gone by. And this week's big award winner, Corey Kluber, Indians pitcher who is named the 2014 American League Cy Young Award winner, defeating Felix Hernandez of the Seattle Mariners by the slimmest of margins, just a 10-point margin of victory for Kluber. We had a chance to catch up with Mickey Callaway on Thursday, Kluber's pitching coach for the past two seasons. He's seen the development, obviously had a vested interest in the voting results on Wednesday night, but he said it wasn't easy trying to catch up with those results and find out what happened.
Well, it's kind of a funny story. We just moved into a new house, and I had my cable installed yesterday so I could watch the whole event take place, and I'm flipping through the channels and I get no Major League Baseball network, so I guess I gotta sign up for that. So I ended up listening through my phone to Major League Baseball network, and so I didn't get to see his reaction. I'm sure I've seen it over and over every time he strikes somebody out or gets a win. but I heard it was pretty priceless.
And I think as a pitching coach, you don't get into this game thinking about whether your pitchers are going to win awards or not. But from that standpoint, working with Corey Kluber on a day-to-day basis, heading into this season, how confident were you that he could have the type of season that put him in the conversation?
You know, obviously to say anybody going into any season is, you know, oh, I expect him to battle for the Cy Young. Obviously his stuff is there, but to go into a season, you know, expecting anybody to battle for a Cy Young is a tough thing to kind of predict. So, you know, I knew he was going to have a really solid season based on the body of work he did in 2013 when his finger wasn't hurting him. And, you know, we knew he was going to be one of our top pitchers, and we were just excited to see him out there pitching every day and staying healthy throughout the season.
Turning point for him, is it too simple to say just that switch from a four-seam fastball to more two-seam stuff?
I mean, obviously that was probably the biggest turning point for him as far as, you know, what he's been able to do in his you know, short major league career. You know, obviously his work ethic and everything he's always done when it comes to baseball has attributed to this award. And, you know, he's just the most consistent, solid guy, you know, I've ever been around. And great to have him as the leader of our staff now.
Mickey Callaway joining us, Tribe pitching coach, talking about the Cy Young Award for Corey Kluber. And you talk about the work ethic and leader of the staff. And I know it came up after the award was won last night. he took over those leadership responsibilities after the trade of Justin Masterson. Easy to underestimate how difficult that can be for certain pitchers in certain situations?
Exactly. You know, what a lot of people don't know is we called him in the office and we asked him to really step up and be that leader once Massey left. And we did it in the middle of him having an unbelievable season and knowing that he was going to be battling for that award. So we threw an extra wrench in his plans. And, you know, that is something really tough to do, not only to lead the staff and have to worry about the other, you know, guys on the staff and their issues that they're bringing to Kluber now, but also just to keep, you know, consistent with the work that he's doing. And he really took on that role really well. You know, he put a lot of time and effort into that role of being the leader. You know, he even came and asked us questions on how to deal with certain situations and stuff like that. So that's even more of a testament to how well he did this past season.
And you put that on him, and when you look at it from the other side, and I know he didn't have the best of seasons statistically, but what did it mean for him to have Masterson here early in the year, and how big a void was that for him?
Exactly. I mean, Masty was the guy that he kind of leaned on the most after a start. You know, I think the best thing for these guys is to really lean on each other and help each other out. And now, all of a sudden, in the middle of a season where Kluber's cruising and he's used to something that really keeps him consistent, he doesn't have anymore. You know, Masterson's gone. And, you know, our whole staff had to go through that bit. You know, losing Masty was big, but, you know, a necessary thing at the time. And they all adjusted really well.
And when you talk about leadership, what can he provide other pitchers? Because obviously it worked down the stretch. The starting pitching rotation was outstanding. And what were some of the things he was able to do for his teammates?
You know, first and foremost, the leader's got to lead by example. And you can't expect anything out of anybody else unless you're willing to do it yourself. And that's exactly what Kluber does the best, is he's always going to lead by example. You know, he's not the most outspoken guy, but we did see him step up and take initiative to say, be a little more outspoken and really help on, you know, some of the issues that might arise. So, you know, I'm really proud of him for that. And, you know, it takes a lot of maturity, a lot of class to be a leader, and he's got all those qualities.
And the public persona of Corey Kluber is someone who's very low-key, quiet, but I get the feeling in the clubhouse it's a little bit different.
Oh, yeah, he's very fun and kind of a bit of a prankster and has the best one-liners. He's very witty, obviously a very smart guy, so some of his stuff is really funny. And he's really a joy to be around, that's for sure.
How do you look at next season now for him? Obviously a heavy workload this year, and he got the job done. Do you do anything different for him between now and spring training to make sure he's okay?
You know, we're reaching out to a bunch of guys. We have some, you know, guys in our organization that have hauled a lot of innings in the past, like Tim Belcher, Charles Nagy, Jason Beret, guys like that. We're reaching out to them to get their thoughts on how Kluber should handle his rest during the offseason, when he should start throwing because of the, you know, increased innings total, what we should do in spring training as far as workload and things like that. So we're going to educate ourselves a little bit more on, you know, how to kind of attack that and how to approach that. And, you know, we'll give Kluber some suggestions. You know, my thought is Kluber, you could probably leave him alone and he's going to do the right things to prepare for the season and he'd be just fine. But we're definitely going to do our due diligence as far as, you know, trying to educate ourselves on the best way to help him like we always do.
I'll tell you, he has earned some celebration time, that's for sure. And I know he does it in a low-key manner. But, Mickey, you were a big part of it, too. And congratulations on helping him along and achieving a great thing.
Well, thanks a lot, Rosie. Thanks for having me.
That's Indians pitching coach Mickey Callaway talking about the tremendous season for Corey Kluber. And this note, we mentioned at the top, we're not going to get too much into the statistics and breaking it down into the saber metrics of why Kluber won over Felix Hernandez. It really was the type of vote where you couldn't have gone wrong voting for either pitcher, but Kluber comes out ahead in the final vote of the Baseball Writers Association of America. But this one note, and it was dug out by Jeremy Fedor, the Indians team historian, And this comes courtesy of Hardball Talk, a great website. As you know, Kluber, as you probably know, Kluber was acquired in a deadline deal back in 2010. Jake Westbrook traded to the St. Louis Cardinals as part of a three-team deal. Kluber came over from the San Diego Padres organization. He had been in their double and triple A levels. But to take it deeper on Hardball Talk, they went back to 1977 to see where Kluber really was acquired from, so to speak, if you want to take a leap of faith. On June 7th, 1977, Jerry Dibczynski was drafted by the Indians in the 15th round. He was the 375th pick in the 77 amateur draft. Dibczynski, I'm sure a lot of longtime Indians fans remember him, had a six-year major league career, three with the Indians from 1980 through 1985, his career span, a couple of years with the White Sox, also some time with the Pirates, a Cleveland kid out of Collinwood High School and Cleveland State, ended his major league career hitting .234 with three homers and 93 runs driven in. So how do we get from Dibczynski to Corey Kluber? Well, Dibczynski in April of 83 was traded by the Indians to the White Sox for Pat Tabler. So now Tabler takes over that spot for Dibczynski. Then Tabler, 5 years later, was traded to the Royals for Bud Black. So now you have Black in that spot. In 1990, Black was traded to the Blue Jays for a package that included Alex Sanchez. Later that fall, Sanchez was traded back to the Blue Jays for Willie Blair. Blair was with the Indians for a year, and then he was traded to the Astros along with Eddie Taubensy for Kenny Lofton. As you may recall, Lofton in 1997 traded to the Braves for Marquise Grissom and David Justice. And it was 3 years later that Justice was flipped to the Yankees for a package that brought the Indians Jake Westbrook, who was then traded in 2010 for Corey Kluber. So you could say that the Indians acquired Corey Kluber for a 15th round draft pick back in 1977. Not a bad flip for a future Cy Young Award winner. Takes a leap of faith, but interesting just the same to sometimes see how trades and acquisitions work if you want to really dig deeper than just the actual trade where a player was acquired in. Well, if you're still with us and then you followed us through that, stay with us. When we come back, we're going to check in with Ruben Niebla. Ruben is the Indians' minor league pitching coordinator, but he was Corey Kluber's last minor league pitching coach when Kluber was making those final steps to the major leagues at AAA Columbus. Now we'll talk to Ruben about some significant changes that impacted the career tremendously of this year's Cy Young Award winner. That's next as we continue on the Indians Radio Network. Great to have you back with us on Tribe Talk, and stay with us. Don't forget, we'll have another segment after this one in which we'll be joined by Michael Brantley, so the Indians candidate for the Most Valuable Player Award in the American League, a finalist down to just three for the award. Michael Brantley will be joining us shortly on the show. We're joined now by Ruben Niebla, who is the Indians minor league pitching coordinator, oversees all the pitching in the Indians minor league system, but he has spent some time in the big leagues as the Indians pitching coach back in 2012. A lot of seasons as a minor league pitching coach, including 2011 and 2012 with the Columbus Clippers. And when we caught up with Ruben, we talked to him about a lot of the changes that Kluber had to make to take that last step and find success at the major league level at a time in his career where things were not going the smoothest at the AAA level. So we'll talk to Ruben about some of those changes in just a little bit, but when we opened with him, he told us about just how special the award is to him as well as it is to Corey Kluber, but certainly to those who helped him along the way.
Well, it was a very exciting day for the organization yesterday and what happened with Corey. I was here in my home right outside of San Diego, and I was watching with my kids on TV and anxiously waiting for the results. And when they announced it, obviously there's some excitement in the air here. But, you know, we're very happy for Corey and what he was able to accomplish this year. And you know, it's something that is awesome for the whole organization, the whole city of Cleveland.
certainly his body of work worthy of a Cy Young Award, but were you as surprised as he seemed to be at winning the award?
You know, he was. I checked with him yesterday, and he was a little bit more surprised than I was, I think. But he definitely seemed to not be anticipating it. I you know, obviously with people that I've talked and just looking at the numbers, I was hoping that they would sway that way because he did have an outstanding year and really was deserving of the honor.
And you look at how far he has come in seemingly a short period of time, and you were relating a story earlier about your manager at AAA Columbus in a 2011 season when you were pitching coach there. Great ball club for the Clippers. Ended up doing some damage in the playoffs after the season. And yet Corey Kluber was on your pitching staff and did not pitch in the postseason. And take us back to that and some exchanges you had with Mike Sarbaugh recently.
Well, you know, we laughed about it right after he received the award yesterday. You know, what a great decision of ours, having Corey Kluber on our team and not pitching the playoffs. You know, we looked like two great decision makers there. but at the time, you know, Corey was still going through a little bit of struggles, and he was in the rotation. He was our number four starter in the rotation, and we were fortunate at that time to, you know, have two 3-game series that we swept, and Corey didn't get an opportunity to pitch in those games, so he was a spectator. You know, we joked yesterday about how if we would have lost that series or any one of those series, that we definitely probably would have been hearing about it now. But everything worked out fine. Corey got his Cy Young Award, and you know, he's having a had a tremendous year for us up there in the big leagues, and it looks like he's on the verge of being a very consistent number one starter for a competitive playoff team. So that's all we can worry about now and move forward.
Ruben Niebla joining us, Indians minor league pitching coordinator, longtime pitching coach in the system. And now fast forward to the next season, 2012. And I guess when you break it down, it seems like such a small change. Throwing a pitch, throwing your fastball with four seams or throwing it with two seams. But according to Corey and so many in the organization, that seemed to change his career. You were there on the ground with him working toward that. What prompted you to do that, and what were the results, and how quickly did they come?
Well, it was a we both have joked about this before, but it was in a bullpen in Columbus. We were actually doing the bullpen indoors that day because the Clippers, or the stadium there in Columbus, we were hosting the Big Ten tournament, and we were doing the bullpen indoors, and Corey actually messed around with a two-seam fastball, something that he was just showing, you know, maybe throwing about 10-15% of the time, just more as a show pitch. And he was mixing it in occasionally in his bullpen. And I just started noticing that the command of that pitch, especially down in the zone, was more consistent than his four-seam fastball. We stopped right in the middle of the bullpen there, and we had a little conversation about what he was feeling with his two-seamer as compared with his four-seam, and he demonstrated what he feels and where his hand positioning is, and so I kind of challenged him right there to, you know, just start throwing two-seamers the rest of the bullpen, and he was able, it was unbelievable. He was able to throw his two-seamer on both sides of the plate, where usually a two-seam fastball, you know, you ask your pitcher to stay on, you know, at that level, you ask your pitcher to stay on the arm side, which is into a right-handed hitter only. But Corey was able to do it and throw it to both sides of the plate without any issues. And some little running action that it had to it, a little bit of a sinker action to it, not as good as what we're seeing now. But that day, you know, this is all, you know, credit to Corey, but he was able to take that bullpen, and we talked about him going into his next game and using all two seamers for his fastball. And again, I say credit to him because he was able to not only go in there and do it, but you know, it's a little tough at times doing something like that, a transition of just changing what you're doing completely and just committing to one pitch as he did with the two-seamer. But he did it and had a lot of success this next game, stuck with it. And I think the numbers showed that he had 8 out of his next 10 starts were quality starts in AAA. And eventually that led for a call-up later on that year.
That first start after that bullpen, where he almost exclusively threw that two-seamer, is that the beauty of working with a prospect in the minor leagues where you can do that and tell them, hey, you don't have to worry about wins and losses, and it might hurt your ERA results-wise, but just commit to it. You can do that at that level?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the beauty of the minor leagues is that wins and losses, you know, don't matter as much. You know, for him to go into the game and do that, you know, first of all, my biggest fear was that he was going to go in there and not throw strikes with it consistently and then revert back in the middle of a game. And luckily, he was able to throw strikes. He actually threw, you know, we went back and looked at that chart. He actually threw 31 out of his first 34 pitches were strikes on that game. And he was, by that time, he was in the fourth inning already, getting a lot of ground ball out. So after every inning, he was almost coming in going like, that feels good. That, you know, almost with a smile on his face. Obviously, you know, those of you that know Corey, he's not going to give you a lot of emotion. But it's, you know, it seemed like he was happy with the results after every inning. So, you know, it's something that was easier for him to commit to because of the success, immediate success. So, yeah, it's a little bit easier to do in the minor leagues, but definitely credit to him for committing to it.
And I know certain players are more coachable, so to speak, than others. Was there much of a sales job on your part during that bullpen to say, hey, you need to give this a try, or it would be good if you at least tried it?
Well, if you look at Corey's numbers pre-two-seamer, it wasn't that much of a sale. It was something that he was ready, and he's always been very coachable and always willing to try things. As far as selling it, there's something that we had to figure out. We had already worked on his delivery. We had already introduced the cutter, which he was throwing for strikes. His breaking pitches, he was pretty consistent with those pitches in the strike zone. We just needed to figure out how to get that fastball in the strike zone. Selling it to him was a little bit easier, I guess you could say. But, he was ready to do it. And, now, looking back on it, God, glad he did.
I think we saw his reaction last night. Obviously, it was low-key, but a lot of pride there and a sense of accomplishment. I get the feeling, though, talking to different pitching coaches in the organization now, that for those who had an impact on him, that was just as big a night as it was for him, for you.
Yeah, I think, and he said it perfectly yesterday, this is definitely a team effort, you know, with the medical group, with the strength and conditioning group, with the pitching coaches. He made reference to the hitting coaches, the front office. This is definitely a team effort, but bottom line is that, you know, Corey was the one that committed to it. Corey's the one that does the work. Corey's the one that made the adjustments. And he definitely deserves all the credit.
That's Ruben Niebla, Indians minor league pitching coordinator and former pitching coach in the minor leagues for this year's Cy Young Award winner, Corey Kluber. Well, we'll shift gears to the other side, the position player side of the baseball. The Indians had an outstanding season from Michael Brantley, a most valuable player type season in the American League. He was a finalist, and we'll talk to him about it next when we continue with Tribe Talk. on the Indians Radio Network. Welcome back to Tribe Talk. Jim Rosenhaus back with you at Progressive Field, our final segment for this week's show, and a great show it's been in terms of talking about outstanding things that have happened for two Cleveland Indians in particular. On Wednesday, Corey Kluber named Cy Young Award winner. Thursday night, Michael Brantley on center stage in the MVP announcement. He ended up finishing third in the balloting behind Angels outfielder Mike Trout, who won the American League Most Valuable Player Award, and former Tribe catcher Victor Martinez in the mix, too. He ended up finishing second in the voting after a fine season with the Tigers. But certainly does not take away from an outstanding year for Michael Brantley. Major increases across the board for Brantley in just about every offensive category, and another fine season in left field as well defensively. Just a great all-around season for Michael. And when we caught up with him after the announcement on Thursday night, sure, there was some disappointment, but also a look back at a great season. And for a player who is always focused on team first, really doesn't look at much in terms of stats, the MVP announcement and the anticipation leading up to it really hit home as to how good a season he had.
When you start getting recognitions and, you know, the MVP chance that Cleveland fans presented for me, it's kind of mind-blowing when I sit back and think about it. But at the same time, you know, I got to thank my teammates and my coaching staff and just everybody in the Cleveland organization. They make it great to come to work every day, make it easy to come to work every day and just play the game that I love.
And you mentioned that, and I think a lot of that pertains to the coaches, and it's obvious they're trying to help you. How do your teammates help you when you have a season going like you did?
They keep you motivated. You know, we're trying to win together as a team. It's a group effort. You know, whether it's Mike Aviles, you know, pumping me up or messing with me, or, you know, it's Michael Bourne getting on me for not doing something the right way. It's just we all push one another to get better, and we need that. And we have so much fun. It's like a brotherhood with this great team that we have, and I can't wait to do it again next year.
Yeah, I know you have become, and it's crazy to say because it doesn't seem that long ago that you were just trying to get yourself established at the major league level, but you have that leadership role now, and is that something that's comfortable for you to do for some of the younger players?
It is comfortable for me. I believe that, you know, the leadership role is kind of given to you by the players. You got to earn it, though. You got to really earn the respect, their trust, and, you know, it's about how hard you play. You know, if you're playing hard, you're working hard, and they see that, you know, you get the utmost respect from all your teammates. And that's what I look forward to doing each and every year, is being the best teammates that I can and just, you know, enjoy being with one another, which we do.
Michael Brantley joining us. Finished third in the Most Valuable Player Award voting, and some great numbers across the board. Significant increases for you in so many different offensive categories. Take us back to the offseason heading into spring training. I know there was an approach change there for you, and explain where that came from.
Well, the day before I left, me and my father used to sit down and talk about goals and, you know, what we want to accomplish this year. And he sat down and he challenged me. He told me that The first time I set foot in the box to get ready to hit every pitch and to trust my ability. It was kind of a different approach. I didn't swing at the first pitch too often. And this year I did. I was letting it fly early, as you can say. If I got a good fastball, you know, 0-0 or 1-0, I was swinging. You know, in years past, I kind of took it, you know, trying to work a count, just trying to get on base. But, you know, a change of mentality, a change of a mindset, they worked out this year, and I'm hopefully going to continue to do that and, you know, hopefully help the Cleveland Indians win more games.
And it's one thing to have that approach heading into spring training. I think another to carry it out. But you were saying earlier you wasted very little time getting to it. And explain how early you put that into effect and the reaction of some of your teammates.
Well, yeah. I told my father that I'm buying in with it. He's been trying to get me to do it for a couple of years now. And I said, I'm buying in. I'm going to try it out in spring training. And, you know, I had a pretty good success in spring training. You know, Lonnie Chisholm told me, he said, hey, Grant, you swung the first pitch this year in spring training. I hit a double. And he goes, I go, Lonnie, I'm going to try to do that all year. If I get a good first pitch fastball that I feel like I can handle, I'm going to put the best thing on I can, and whatever happens for that happens.
Michael Brantley joining us. Talking about just a great season, change in approach, and some things that it led to. And you had the good season, Corey Kluber. having a great year on the mound, Cy Young Award winner. It's been a real fun week for the Indians. And what does that mean to you when you see some of your teammates getting some postseason accolades as well?
I don't know if I could be happy for a teammate. He worked so hard this year, and I watched the effort they put in each and every day and how he prepared for his starts. It was awesome. It was awesome to see him go out there every fifth day and, you know, do what he did, especially the second half. When he took the mound, you had that extra confidence that you knew what you were getting out of him. And I can't wait to watch him, you know, the following years and be his teammate for as long as possible. That's how good he is.
And you mentioned some of that stuff, and I know you two have lockers not far from each other in a corner of the clubhouse. And on some teams, it seems like pitchers and position players don't have a whole lot to do with each other, but that doesn't seem to be the case here. And how much enjoyment do you get watching a pitcher do his thing and maybe vice versa for him?
Yeah, that's one of the best things I think about our team is that we're not segregated. There's not, you know, just position players on one side, pitchers over here. We're a team. And that's from the bullpen to the starting pitcher, from the starting pitcher to all our position players, which makes it fun. We have a great group of guys in that locker room that all care about one another. And, you know, what we did in 2013, I don't see why we can't repeat that again. We have to stay healthy. I mean, that's the key to anybody's success is staying healthy. And I believe if we do that, good things are going to happen, and we can go a long ways.
And along those lines, are you back at it yet, or are you still in that off-season mode?
No, I got back into it about 2 weeks ago. I take my time. I kind of build myself back up. I try to take a good solid month and just try not to pick up a weight, try not to do no running, and just kind of let my body heal from the long season that we have. But I've been getting back into it slowly but surely. I'll be ramping it up here very shortly, and I can't wait for next year.
And most importantly, did you have some time to get out on the water and do some fishing?
The best part is I was up at 4 o'clock this morning, out there catching bait at 4:45, trying to get bait before the sun came up. I love fishing. Everybody knows that. And I'm dedicated, I can tell you that. But it was a great fishing day. I had to get my fishing in every now and then. And it's something that, you know, it's my getaway to. It's my go-to. And it's something I love to do in the off-season.
Have you hauled in a big one yet this off-season?
No, it's still early. In Florida, so temperature doesn't change. I needed to get a little cooler. When it gets cooler, the fish move more. Well, we caught 10 flounder today. We'll have a fish fry on Sunday and watch some football.
That is a quality week in the off season, right there.
I agree.
Michael Brantley, thanks so much for coming by. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Rosie. I very much appreciate your time.
So that's Michael Brantley, Indians outfielder, finished third in the Most Valuable Player Award voting. A great season for Brantley. And that's going to wrap up this week's show. Congratulations to Corey Kluber and Michael Brantley on fine weeks. Kluber, the Cy Young Award winner in the American League, and Brantley finishing third in the Most Valuable Player voting. Don't know what we can do to top that next week, but you can be sure we'll have a good show for you next week as well as we continue with our hot stove editions of Tribe Talk. Until then, this is Jim Rosenhaus reminding you that you've been listening to Tribe Talk on the Cleveland Indians Radio Network.